This is SB Nation Radio from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's Joe Spano.
Well, Bobby Beach is going to effort Pat Boylan from the Indiana Pacers Radio Network, and we'll talk about what's been an under-the-radar but very effective offseason for the Indiana Pacers, and it's a team I can make the case that they're the third-best team in the Eastern Conference right now behind the Boston Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers. But that said, let's get back to what's been the focus of the discussion for most of the first hour of the program, and that's the Rockets letting Luke Richard-Mabute go. And they're going to look at Melo to replace him. And we had Shaq from Dallas weighed in earlier, and he was wondering why the Clint Capella signing hasn't happened. And a lot of that, again, is the Rockets letting this market settle. And the restricted free agent market is just awful. So they're looking at getting Capella on the cheap. But it may be a short-term deal. And then when he becomes an unrestricted free agent, Rockets may lose him, and that may cause their window to close completely. Because it's clear they're losing ground to the Golden State Warriors every day here. You got him? All righty, excellent. Let's switch gears and let's stay with the NBA, but let's talk about the Indiana Pacers and bring in, from the Indiana Pacers Radio Network, Pat Boylan. Pat, welcome to the program. It's great to talk to you tonight.
Hey, I appreciate you having me.
My pleasure. Boy, you know, it's been kind of what I would call an under-the-radar offseason for the Indiana Pacers, but quietly a very, very effective one, and a team that has really, really improved itself this offseason. So kind of take us through the offseason, because everybody knows where LeBron went. Everybody talks about the Lakers and the Rockets and the Warriors. Nobody's talking about the Indiana Pacers and the bevy of very quiet, very cost-effective moves that they've made.
Yeah, and I think that kind of follows script from really a lot of last season, too. You know, there were flashier teams than the Pacers last year. There were teams with bigger stars than the Pacers last year. And they kind of snuck up on a lot of people. And I think a lot of people around the country looked up at the standings with about a month ago in the season and said, oh, wow, the Pacers, you know, are on pace to win mid to upper 40s, maybe even 50 games. They won 48. And, yeah, they didn't have a hugely flashy offseason. They didn't bring in, like you said, LeBron James. Paul George got a lot of those headlines. Their main offseason acquisition was Tyreek Evans, and you add him to Doug McDermott, and then most recently here today officially was announced Kyle O'Quinn. When you consider what those guys are coming in to potentially replace, Tyreek Evans is kind of interesting because I've always thought that Lance Stephenson's game was a little bit like a poor man's Tyreek Evans. So I think you're seeing a similar style of player there, but Evans has certainly been more effective around the NBA than Lance has last year, averaging 18 points per game. And McDermott brings shooting. And the Pacers lost Glenn Robinson III in the offseason, but brought in McDermott, who has had more efficient numbers than Robinson. And then Kyle O'Quinn, you know, is going to join his third NBA team in seven seasons, but I think he's been pretty solid everywhere he went. So, yeah, not a gigantic, flashy offseason, but I think the general consensus, at least around here, is that there was improvement.
Also, talk about their first-round draft pick. He's the younger brother of Drew Holiday, and by all indications, has a very, very similar game. NBA defensive-ready already, can shoot the three, and can be the primary or secondary ball handler. So talk about that and what kind of an impact he may make in the early going.
Yeah, we'll see. They really didn't expect Aaron Holiday to be on the board. He actually didn't even come in for a workout, which has been typical of Pacers in the past to draft a guy that they had in for a workout, assuming that they picked that position that they expected to. And I think he didn't work out for the Pacers because he had hoped he would be gone by that pick. But obviously it's a potential positive for Indiana that he was there at that position. And it's obviously very early to tell. He's played pretty well so far in summer ball, but they thought enough of him to let Joe Young go, which was a two-year guard for Indiana that had shown some flashes off the bench. So I think they certainly see a future for Aaron Holiday, and you know, we'll see how his game projects. He comes from UCLA, which the Pacers have had a nice little tree here of grabbing guys from UCLA when you consider Darren Collison and then T.J. Leaf and E.K. Anabogu. They now have four guys from UCLA, and And Holiday's a player that I think Indiana expected to go in that 15 to 18 range, and they were a little surprised that he flipped to them at 22.
And let's talk about the guys that were there last year that really we saw a lot of growth out of. You know, obviously Victor Oladipo in coming over from OKC, he grew from somebody that was kind of an enigma and a little bit of a disappointment to a true all-star two-way guard. And Domantas Sabonis, as a role player and bench player, certainly showed a lot of growth last year. So talk about those two players and if they can build upon what they did last year and how much more growth is expected from them going forward in Indiana.
Yeah, well, you're talking about two of the three players when you add Miles Turner to that conversation right now that are probably the core. It makes things a little interesting in that Miles Turner is a 22-year-old center and Domantas Sabonis is a 22-year-old center, and both of them are in a similar position, albeit very different styles of play. Yet Sabonis coming off the bench, I think, had an extremely productive year last year in his second season. And when you look at stats like per 36, which can be a little dangerous to do, but what his numbers would be projected over 36 minutes, Sabonis had a really, really strong second season and I think merits more playing time. And, you know, the Pacers want to see what they can get out of Turner as well. So that'll be, I think, to me, the most interesting storyline is how they manage those minutes between Turner and Sabonis. Can they play on the floor at the same time, both being typical centers? As for Oladipo, you know, I really can't speak highly enough of him. He came in, and I don't think anybody knew what to expect. He's a player that, on one hand, they knew what to expect because he played here at IU, but his pro game had never really reached anywhere past, he's a good player. And he came in with a ridiculously strong work ethic. He was very easy to get along with. He's extremely positive. He's somebody that you talk to him the day after the Pacers would lose their third straight, for example, and you wouldn't be able to tell any different than if the Pacers had just won three straight. Relentlessly positive. And, you know, I think it's a locker room that needed that. And I mean that as no knock on Paul George, because George was and is a very, very good player and did very nice things here. But from a leadership aspect, Oladipo has something that George doesn't have. And obviously, if you want to sit there and compare the two, it can be a fool's errand of an exercise. They're different players. But that's what everybody in Indianapolis loves to do, because naturally Oladipo's kind of taking over for him. But everything he was able to show, the growth in his game, whether it was his three-point shot, the ability off the dribble, to his leadership in the locker room, I think it all took a gigantic stride last year. And I think for him, you know, he's obviously not 21 or 22 anymore, so to expect another gigantic jump is probably unrealistic, but I'm interested to see what this offseason has for him. Is there still improvement for him? Is he going to regress to a mean that some people maybe feel like he is at? He certainly has come in and filled a gigantic void last year from the Paul George trade. And I think where Victor Oladipo ends up this season could have a lot to do with where the Pacers end up.
Pat Boylan, Indiana Pacers Radio Network, joining us here on SB Nation Radio. And you mentioned Miles Turner, and I didn't mention him in that question for a reason. You know, Oladipo and Sabonis showed huge growth. I thought Miles Turner, while it was a solid year, there was a bit of a plateau, and I had a feeling people in Indiana expected a little more out of him last year. Is there some concern there, number one? And number two, is there a thought because of Sabonis' perimeter skills and, you know, hey, he's Arvydas Sabonis' son, so we know he can pass and do a lot of the other things. Is there a thought that Turner and Sabonis could play on the floor together?
Yeah, you know, I think it's fair to say he took a step sideways in year number three, as opposed to making, you know, he came out and immediately looked like he was better than the 11th overall pick in his rookie year, and then I think took a nice step in year two. And in year three, it was probably a sidestep. And like you say, nothing wrong, especially when you consider where he was drafted. But the forward trajectory went on a little bit of a halt. And so, yeah, he's a guy that has taken the offseason extremely strongly. I think he looked a lot at what Victor Oladipo did and said, okay, I was taking it what I thought was seriously before, but there's a couple other levels that maybe I can do here in the offseason. So he's somebody I'm going to be fascinated to see the player that he comes back in to be, because Miles is a guy that has so much potential. Larry Bird, his rookie season, made the comment that he might be the best pure shooter on the team. He's 6'11". He's a knockdown three-point shooter, for a center at least, and is a really good rim protector in that he's in the top five in the league in blocks. So you consider all those things, and the sky's the limit for him, yet inconsistency has kind of been the story of his career so far. He'll have five games in a row where he'll be in the 20s and points in the 10s and rebounds as the Pacers will be winning, and then he'll have some 6.4 rebound games mixed in there as well. And so it's tough to understand what he is, because for him, he's had these high peaks and at times valleys that are below his potential, whereas Sabonis has kind of just been this cool, calm, 12-8 every single night kind of guy. So the contrast between them is interesting. Their playing styles are different. Sabonis is a very dangerous role man. As you said, he's got the ball skills. He's a good passer. But he's really most effective as a role man toward the basket. He can knock down the jump shot out to the three-point line. But comparing him to Turner, Turner's probably the better guy, at least shooting around the perimeter. The question to me, I think in an ideal world, you know, the Pacers really like both of these guys. They love them to play together on the floor. The question to me is on the defensive end, because do you want Sabonis guarding other team stretch fours? That would be a lot to ask DeMontis to do. And if not, you're pulling Miles Turner away from the rim. And if you do that, you're pulling a top five shot blocker in the league away from the rim, which I don't think you want that either. So there's a question there that has to be answered, and I think it's on the defensive end. I think they could coexist very well on the offensive end. Turner hanging around the perimeter a little bit more on pick and pops, Sabonis on the pick and roll. The question to me about that is on the defensive end, and I think they're going to try it. I think they're going to give, you know, some looks once training camp comes around to seeing if that can or cannot work. And I think the ideal situation is both of those guys get more minutes here going forward.
We got about 2 minutes left, and I want to get in two more questions. Number one, Kevin Pritchard, the general manager of the Indiana Pacers, has done a brilliant job. We've talked about these under-the-radar moves and how optimistic we are about the upcoming season when we look at this roster. Yet they're lean and mean. A lot of one-year deals. Come next year, they have practical salary cap space in the area of $65 million available. They have the ability to be a major player in free agency and go from this high 40s, low 50s win type team to a true elite team in the NBA. Talk about that quickly.
Well, yeah, I think that's what you have to like about this offseason is in Indiana is that, one, you accomplish the goal of hopefully getting better. At least on paper, they've gotten better in the offseason. But two, they've remained this extreme amount of flexible that they were going into this offseason. I think if Kevin Pritchard saw a major move that he could make, bring in another star, for example, that wouldn't cost him what he viewed as too much, he would have done it this offseason. I don't think that's how the cards played out this offseason, and he was able to get the team better in the present and also keep their flexibility in the future, which I think is a pretty impressive accomplishment.
And I guess final one real quick. You'll have about 30, 40 seconds on this. How good do you think this team is this year? Are they, as I said yesterday on one of my other programs, are they now the third best team in the East, directly behind the Celtics and the 76ers?
Yeah, it's so hard to tell. Kyle O'Quinn was asked this today, and I referenced him because he was brought in today. He said, you know, you have to remember teams like Washington and Milwaukee that took steps back last year are going to want to prove that they are indeed in that conversation as well. I think the East is a jumble. I think you probably put Boston and Toronto and probably Philadelphia maybe in that top mix. And then I think Indiana absolutely could be right there. But what they have to prove is that last year wasn't a fluke. They have to prove that last year's jump forward was legitimate and that these players can add to it and that there isn't a coach speak regression to the mean. And if they can prove that, I think there's no reason why they can't have a home playoff series in the first round. That's obviously extremely far down the line. But with LeBron James out of the East, I think everything is up for grabs.
Pat, this was great stuff, man. I really, really do appreciate it. And hope, you know, as the offseason and then the NBA 2018-2019 season unfolds in front of us, that you'll join us again.
Hey, would love to. Really appreciate you having me on.
You got it. You have yourself a great rest of the evening. Bye-bye now. Pat Boylan, Indiana Pacers Radio Network, breaking it all down here on SB Nation Radio. We'll tie a bow around hour one next here on SB Nation Radio. Joe Spano and Bobby Beats keeping you company, so you be sure to keep it where it is.